But as I was studying my Bible earlier this week, along with another study aid, I read this. I read this in my study, and it made me think about my walk with my Lord, and it made me want to walk with Him closer, because it kind of opened my eyes a little more and made me ponder in my heart my walk with Him. I want to share this with you this morning. It's about saving faith. Amen. It said the greatest tragedy that can befall someone is to think he's saved, only to discover after death he's not. We all like to believe the claims of those who say they're Christians. But Jesus, our Lord Jesus, gives a harsh warning because He knows many will be deceived. They'll sit in churches week after week professing that Jesus is the Son of God, but would never enter into a personal relationship with Him. Intellectual faith isn't the same as saving faith. It's not enough to know facts about Jesus or to believe He died and rose again. Even demons believe that. Salvation involves more than knowing. It requires trusting that Jesus paid a penalty for our sins, receiving His forgiveness, turning away from old sinful ways, and entering into a personal, intimate relationship with Him. What matters is not what we say with our mouths. Now, this is important, but what we mean in our hearts. Because of what my Lord Jesus did for me 27 years ago when He came and saved my soul, He not only did that, but He put a song in my heart. That's why I sing unto Him today. Please. And I praise His precious name forevermore, because He is my Lord and my friend.
Victory, I sing because I want to read to you this morning for a moment for our text from Revelation chapter 21. That's way over there in the back of the book. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1 through verse 5. We're going to talk about when God makes all things new. We are facing a new year here in a couple of days. The year 2013 will be upon us. And in thinking about the new year, makes us think about new things. John writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful." By the time you have read your Bible all the way through from Genesis 1:1 down to these last two chapters of Revelation, you will have reached the end of time and the beginning of eternity. The millennium is over. Satan has been judged. The wicked dead have been cast into the lake of fire. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, is completely in charge. Sin is gone. Only eternity remains. All things are become new. All things. Do you like new things? In this, he mentions at least seven. He talks about the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. He talks about new inhabitants and a new temple and a new light and a new temple, a new paradise. And by the way, when he speaks of heaven, it's quite often in the Bible spoken of as heavens, plural, more than one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, Paul writes there about having been caught up to the third heaven. So we know there are at least three. Perhaps he's thinking about the atmospheric heaven. That's up here in the air where the birds fly and the airplanes fly. And a second one would be the outer space that we think of up there where the planets are, the sun, the moon, the stars. And then there would be the heaven of heavens. That's where God is. That's where his throne is. That's where Jesus sits at his right hand. Now, I want to go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at two or three verses here. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look down to verse 7. But the heavens, plural, and the earth, which are now, that's this present heavens and earth, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Look down to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens, plural, shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, plural, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. In the book of Genesis, Noah preached for 120 years to the people that it was going to rain, that God was going to destroy the earth and everything in it with a flood of waters. It had never rained before. That same God who eventually brought about the flood and destroyed mankind except eight people also tells us here, this is the same God that tells us that the heavens and the earth, they'll not be flooded with water, but they're going to be burned up. That's the same God that talks to us in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the same God speaking. If we believe him about the flood, which is already past and gone, if we believe him about salvation in Christ when we receive him as our personal Savior, then we have to believe what he tells us about the elements being burned up as well as the heavens. Reserved unto fire. Against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I studied that verse, and the literal rendering of it tells us that this present heavens and earth are held in check by the same word of God that created them in the beginning. They're held in check, stored with fire, and reserved unto the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly. God made it that way. It's prepared for that. This earth is literally stored with fire. That is scientifically true. Those who specialize in such things tell us that this earth is 24,901.4 miles in circumference. If you were to start here and go all the way around the world, you would have traveled 24,901 miles. When the odometer on your car turns 100,000 miles, It's the equivalent of having been driven around the earth four times. That's a lot of driving, isn't it? That's how big it is around. Now, if you were to poke a hole from here right straight through the core of the earth and out the other side of it, the diameter of the earth is 7,926.3 miles. That's down south at the equator. If you were to go to the North Pole and go to the South Pole, the polar diameter is 26.5 miles shorter. It's 7,899.8 miles. So the earth is bigger around at the equator by nearly 25 miles than it is from the north to the south. Kind of like some of us are built. I'm sorry. Me. A little bigger around the middle. But the earth is formed like a hollow ball. The only thing, it's not hollow. It has an outer crust, a crust, and a liquid core. And they tell us that the core of this earth consists of molten elements seething and boiling in the heart of the earth. This crust, think of an egg. You're familiar with eggs. It has a shell around it. Now, when that shell is broken, the insides come out, don't they? Think of this earth as an egg. It has a crust on the outside all the way around. And that crust is about 50 miles thick. Now, when you're talking nearly 8,050 miles, it's not much, is it? It's pretty thin, like an eggshell. 50 miles thick. Of course, that varies in different parts of the earth. There are some places it's thinner, some places it's thicker, of course. Now, it's on this crust that man lives and works and builds houses and conducts welfare and shakes his fist in the face of the Creator. They tell us that the core of this earth, when you get down there where it's hot, is unbelievably hot, some 4,500 degrees. Now that'll bake your biscuits in a hurry. Think about it. 4,500 degrees. And the pressure, think of the pressure. 23,600 tons per square inch. That's a lot of pressure, isn't it? My. In some places, at various times, small chunks of the crust will break off, and millions of tons of rock and earth are blown away, and flames shoot up for hundreds of feet into the air, and a glowing, burning stream of hot, molten lava flows down a mountainside, drowning entire cities in fiery destruction. Ashes from it thicken the air for miles and miles upward and are carried by the winds, drifting for thousands of miles. And on the face of this earth today, there are approximately 850 active volcanoes with recorded eruptions numbering some 2,500. We've got some going off right now down in Central America. Got some over there in Hawaii that's flowing. Did you know that 2,000 of those volcanoes are in the Pacific area? 80 of them are of the submarine type. That means they're below the surface of the water. And 168 of them are in that little country called Indonesia. This earth is stored with fire. That's the point I want to make. And how easily it could be destroyed with fire. Now, the air that we breathe is composed of several gaseous elements. The two predominating are nitrogen and oxygen. These two are the most combustible gases in existence. Oxygen is basically necessary for all combustion. In fact, burning is simply the oxidation of matter. Without oxygen, there can be no combustion. When you want more heat from your stove, you open the damper and you get more oxygen into it. If it's burning too much, you want to turn it down, you turn the damper and it shuts off the oxygen supply to it. And that's the way it works. Now the other element of air is nitrogen. Nitrogen is the basic element in most high explosives, such as dynamite and TNT. And the word nitroglycerin tells its own story, doesn't it? And besides this, there's a great amount of water on the face of this earth. In fact, 70.92% of the earth's surface is covered by water. It's going to get more than that when the ice caps melt. Water is, if I remember from my high school days, is H2O. That H is hydrogen. The O is oxygen. Hydrogen is that highly explosive gas that they used to use to inflate dirigibles. Till the old Hindenburg blew up. They used it to inflate balloons. And the air that we breathe contains these various gases, each one of them a combustible, explosive element in the proper combinations and conditions are present. Now, when Peter tells us that the heavens pass away with a great noise, he's being scientific. The atmospheric heaven, a storehouse of fire, ready to be exploded as soon as God gives the signal with a great noise, he tells us. Now, you know what noise just a firecracker makes when it goes off. They say the explosion of a 12-inch shell can be heard for 50 miles. On the ship I was on in World War II, we had 9 8-inch guns, 8 5-inch guns, and 4 3-inch guns. And I'll tell you, you had to turn the ship sideways to fire those things. And when you did, they went off with a boom. Talk to Sam about that. His is outfitted about the same way, and that's the reason why he's wearing a hearing aid today. Those big guns went boom too many times. Now, Can you imagine? When countless billions of square miles of nitrogen, oxygen, and hydrogen suddenly explode, that explosion is going to be so tremendous that the shock waves will jar the stars out of their courses, millions of miles away. A lot of people used to read what Peter and John wrote about all of this, but a lot of those scoffers were silenced when the atomic bomb was invented. They just shut their mouths. They had nothing else to say. But I remember August the 6th, 1945. I was down at Leyte in the Philippines. And they called us all together. We sat on the bleachers out at the ballpark. And they told us what was going on. And that's the time when a small bomb, only weighed about 600 pounds, but it exploded 1,500 feet above the city of Hiroshima, Japan, and in an instant, over 100,000 people were killed. The creators of that bomb tell us that it contains the potential of destroying the earth in one mighty blast. And it could set off a nuclear explosion that would have a chain reaction among the atoms of the air. Now you know why we don't want those crazy Iranians over there to get it. Because they don't have sense enough to control it. They would use it. God said, I make all things new. One of those things I want to talk to you about is the New Jerusalem. We read here how God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And there's going to be a city of New Jerusalem. Every one of us here today that are saved, that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, will be an inhabitant of that city called New Jerusalem. The city and the occupants are spoken of as one. For instance, if we say San Diego, we could be talking about the buildings, the material city, the sidewalks, the streets, the stores. Or we might be speaking about the inhabitants of the city, the people who live in it. If I say that San Diego is a beautiful city, I would probably be referring to its buildings, its parks, its sidewalks, etc., etc. Not that all of its people are beautiful. If I could say that the city of San Diego is a wicked city, I would be referring to the people who live in the city of San Diego, the inhabitants. So, we use the term to refer either to the city itself or to the people who live there. Now, the New Jerusalem is a literal city. It's especially prepared by God to be the inhabitation of His saints. Remember Jesus over in John 14 said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now it'll come down from heaven and it will stay suspended in the air over the earth and it will be cube shaped. The dimensions of it are given. God gets into the particulars of this place he's prepared for us. Revelation 21:16. The city lieth four square. A four square means, and he describes it here in a minute, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Now, a furlong is not a long with fur on it. It's a measurement. And in English feet, a furlong is 660 feet. We've got 12,000 furlongs. Multiply that by 660 feet, and you have 7,920,000 feet. Well, that's beyond our imagination, so let's divide it by 5,280 feet, which is the length of feet in a mile, and bring it down into something we can understand. The answer is 1,500 miles. If you were to, I would challenge you to do this. If you have a globe, you could maybe do this with a flat map as well. But you have a globe, and you get your dimensions, like 1 inch equals 500 miles or something like that, and cut you out a little square and place it anywhere on that globe, you would see the size of the New Jerusalem in relation to the earth, the size of the earth. For instance, if we were to put the southwestern corner here in Chula Vista and go east, we would go a little ways past Little Rock, Arkansas, 1,500 miles. Then we'd find the southeast corner of it. Then we would go directly north. We would go up across the United States, across the Canadian border, 598 miles up into the Canadian wilderness, and that would be the northeastern corner. And then you go from there westward all the way to the Pacific Ocean, and there's going to be the northwestern corner. And then you come from way off up there back down to Chula Vista, and you've got the size approximately of the bottom of the city of New Jerusalem. It is big enough to accommodate 25 times the present population of the earth, which is about 7 billion people. So it's going to be big, and it's high. Now, the city is made out of pure gold, like unto clear glass. That's what we're told in the Bible. And said the street of it is pure gold, as it were transparent glass. This is the place that God has prepared as an eternal habitation of us, his people. Now it's got a wall around it. And that wall is a wall of jasper. Jasper's a precious stone, kind of like a diamond. Revelation 21:17, he measured the wall thereof. Let's see how big it is. 144 cubits. Now, cubit is 18 inches in English measure. So you've got 144 times 18 inches equals 2,592 inches. Divide that by 12, because there's 12 inches to the foot, and you have a 216 foot high wall around that city. tall as a 16-story building. And that wall has 12 foundations. And the foundations are of precious stones. And each foundation is named after the 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that wall has 12 gates, 3 on either side. And each of those gates is a single pearl. We call it the pearly gates. And the names on those gates, they're named after the 12 tribes of Israel. They'll never be shut. Read on. The city has no need for the sun, for the glory of God lightens it. And the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light of it. That's in chapter 21, verse 23. And it tells us there be no night there. The nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. I told you, it's suspended up here in heaven over the earth. Its light is like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. It's got a temple. Chapter 21, verse 22. Now that's the physical description of the New Jerusalem as a place. But what about its inhabitants, its people? They are us. Glorified, blood-bought, blood-washed saints of God. All of those of us who have believed in and trusted and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. There will be no more curse, no death, no sickness, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, no sin. We are God's people, and God Himself shall be with us and will be our God. As His servants, we shall serve Him. The Bible says we shall see His face. His name shall be in our foreheads. We shall reign forever and ever with Him. Amen. Thus saith the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We have God's word for it, and God does not lie. I hope today I've given you a glimpse of some new things. Something to think about in days to come. God is good to us, His people. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your precious word. We believe it. We trust in it. We rely upon it. And we know that when this life is over for us, that we'll be in Your presence. We'll be with You forevermore. Father, if there's one here today that does not have the assurance of salvation in their heart, I pray that today will be the day where the Holy Spirit of God has touched their heart and made them realize that they're not ready to meet You. They're not ready for the things that we've talked about. When the earth is burned up, we don't want to be here. We want to be gone out of this place. And we have Your promise that You'll take us out before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And You have a place that You've prepared for us. Thank You for that, Father. We claim it by faith today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 497. We're going to sing number 497.
As I am without
morning that it's your life is right with God. What we preach today is for you as well as for me. God's good to us. All we have to do is to accept it by faith. Sing one more stanza, will you please? Just as I am, remember, no sin is allowed in that city. We've got to get rid of that. The only way to get rid of that sin is by the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood can cleanse us from all of our sins. Appreciate your attention you gave to the preaching of God's word today. Remember these new things. We look for a new year. Hey, we look for more than that, don't we? Christians got a lot more new things to think about. Praise the Lord for that. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother John, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?
City where nothing that defiles shall enter in. We look at ourselves, we look at our hearts, and we realize that we are sinful people. And it is only by His imputed righteousness, not righteousness which have been placed upon us, His very own righteousness, that we are fit for that city. And as we think of the first hymn that we sang this morning, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. We thank you, Father, that it's only because of Him that we will be there. We realize there is a day when the books will be opened, and only those names that are inscribed in the book of life will have a place in that city. We thank you that those that we know that have a place there, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, are those who have by faith received Him, His mighty work on the cross, relying not on our own righteousness, which we have none, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. We realize that our own righteousness before you, our Father, is as filthy rags. And only that perfect righteousness, imputed righteousness, placed upon us, the mighty work of our Lord Jesus Christ, fits us, makes us able, makes us presentable to be placed and to enter into that city where there is no suffering, no pain, no sin. All that is displeasing to you, Holy Father, will be eradicated. And those that live the lives today that mention these things that would bar them from that great city, we thank you, Father, that by faith we have been freed from this. We have been released. That we who were sinners now stand before you, Father, as we had never sinned. Stand before you as righteous in your presence because of that mighty sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, which spits us for that city. And so, Father, we pray that as we go through this life, that our hope is not here, that our view is to the future, for our great hope which we have, that one day we will be with Lord Jesus Christ, and with those that we love, those that have gone before, those that have been made clean and righteous, to enter into that city where nothing shall defile. We praise you for the great hope that we have this morning, Father. We bless you, magnify you, and cause us to walk righteously in your sight, especially in this coming year. Give us opportunity to witness to others who know not, O Lord Jesus, who do not have this hope. Give us opportunity to tell others of this blessed Savior who we love so dearly. Enable us to continue with fellowship together unmolested in the coming year. Cause us to want to and desire to be with one another as fellow saints, to give you the praise, adoration, and love which you rightfully deserve. And we pray these things now as you dismiss us with your blessing. In his holy and precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen.